Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you sing it?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
From your nation's capital in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and welcome to our listening audience. And you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. That calling number again is 646-668-2948. And today's date is August 30th, 2007, on Black America. Again, welcome to the airway, Rolling Now, and the Future, Economic Impact on Black America. And the slogan for our show is, if there's power in numbers, and the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And this show is brought to you by the Positive Change and Renewable Energy Company, both large and small, along with increased market share for African American solar installation companies. We're also sponsored by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, HBCU Workforce Development Initiative, which is designed to address the economics of high energy costs for our HBCU, to utilize Black-owned farms, lands, and HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation companies for under- and unemployed Black men and women. We're also sponsored by Guidance Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: writing, editing, web design, web editing, magazine production online, and traditional newsletter production online, and traditional speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and a speakers bureau. For further information, you can contact Scotton Communications. That's Scotton, Scotton. And once again, welcome to the airwaves of Rolling Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And well, as I indicated, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. And the caption for our show is, what impact will Hurricane Harvey have on the fiscal year 2018 budget cut, weighing in on Congress as they return to the nation's capital in approximately about 1 week. As we all realize, if you have not been buried under the rock, that we have been hit with a devastating storm in the name of Hurricane Harvey that has hit the Gulf Coast. We are slated to have a guest today, Mr. Efren B. Durnigan, calling in from Houston, Texas. Hopefully he will be joining us. Mr. Durnigan is the president of the South Union Community Development Corporation, which facilitates organizing and management as well as recruitment to accomplish the mission and vision of the organization. Collaboratively designs programming of the organization for the betterment of the South Union and surrounding communities in Houston, with strong passion towards seniors, education in science, technology, engineering, map STEM career fields to expose and prepare them for jobs that are awaiting them. Okay? And he also had a solar company, and they have a project called the Harvest Mind Incubator. And if he joins us, he will be going into very much more detail concerning that issue. Now, as we know, many of us, that Hurricane Harvey slammed the Texas Gulf from Corpus Christi to Houston, and its peak knocked out over 300,000 customers' power on Saturday. According to the Electricity Reliability Council, the number of customers without power decreased slightly as the storm wore on, but reports were widespread transmission outages partly near Gulfus Christi and Victoria area. The grid power issued an emergency status late Friday night as Harvey made landfall and noted more than 70,000 customers were without power already, as line workers were working 16-hour shifts to turn on power. And that story continued. And it went on, and it talked about the fact that Hurricane Harvey made landfall, and as I said, it affected nearly, based on the University of Michigan forecast, it would affect almost 350,000 customers were projected to lose power. And that's around the numbers that were cited. But as I said, if we're able to get Mr. Durnigan, I spoke with him last night at his home in Houston, and he was blessed enough to have power, and he actually had no water damage to his home. And he indicated going on there in Houston, said that there was very, very, very bad, but that the city was broken up in wards, and each ward had a bayou. And as that bayou overflowed, that particular community would be flooded. But fortunately, situation for his family was they did not have to leave Houston, did not have to evacuate, but they can't go anywhere. So that's been the story. Because when I look on the mainstream media, I don't hear a solar now and the future with this economic impact on Black America. Now, as we begin to talk about impact, I'm pretty sure everyone out there in the listening audience, if you have not heard any of our previous shows, we have been beating drums about the proposed budget cut for 2018 from EPA as well as DOE budget. And one of the things that we know for sure that proposed budget, fiscal year EPA budget, in brief, eliminated programs which will total $983 million, which will literally gut safety nets on these type of natural disasters because EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, is the main catalyst and funding source for grant state programs that are responsible for responding to these types of venues for the government. Now, these cuts are too numerous to even examine. But if you begin to look at the first category of grants, it talks about beaches, beach protection. Fiscal year 2016, $10 million within that budget. It's slated to be zeroed out for fiscal year 2018. Grants authorized under the beach support to continue development and implementation of coastal recreational water monitoring and public notification program. Well, now, we're talking about these storms making landfall, and they come right through our beaches. They come right off the water through our beaches. Category of grant, Physical Act programs to provide authorized state and tribal administration for training for certified programs. That deals with lead. But there are two beach categories, programs that we're looking at that will be completely eliminated if, in fact, we don't get on the phone, call our congressional representatives, and raise holy hell about these proposed budget cuts. So, West Virginia, Virginia, Washington, D.C., the state of Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New York State had a combined budget of approximately $73 million. Now, that $73 million budget sounds like a lot of money, but that's not a lot of money when you take into consideration the geographics I just called of those states and their population base. That has the largest percentage of getting all of your major governmental and urban business hubs, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, Newark, Trenton, New York City, Hartford, Connecticut, you name it, they're affected by these budgetary proposed cuts. Now, when we go on and look at the minority program under the PA, Small Business Assistance Program, fiscal year 2016, it had $1,670,000 slated to be cut to $890,000. This program provides technical assistance to small businesses, headquarters, and regional office employees to ensure that minority businesses and minority academic institutions receive a fair share of EPA procurement dollars and grants where applicable. The agency will integrate its resources for small and disadvantaged businesses activities under the Small Business Ombudsman Program. Now, somewhere I think the African American community has heard this memo before. You're talking about going under the state with no federal regulations. What little money that will be left off? That positive change, pc.com. You can click on our news and events tab, and you can click on the July link, and you will. That will be the first article facing you in your face on our website. That's www.positivechange.com. Please click on the news and events link and click on the July archives, and it will take you right in concerning a number of other very, very important things that were scheduled for Houston. Matter of fact, when I spoke last night with Mr. Jernigan in Houston, he was unaware that the U.S. Department of Energy Office on Economic Impact and Diversity, the Minority Supplies Development Council of Houston, Texas, was supposed to be hosting next Wednesday, September the 6th, a 2017 Business Energy Summit at the Houston, Texas, George Brown Convention Center. Now, I placed a call to the Department of Energy and Environment this morning to, in fact, whether this summit will be canceled or not. No one could answer my phone or could answer that question. I was referred to Mrs. Atkinson, who is one of the department executives there at DOE, and I've left several messages, voicemails on her voicemail last week, issue of getting someone from that department to come on the airwaves of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America and addressing the issue of the fiscal year 2018 budget that will be going to Congress and the impact that it will have on those programs affecting economic impact and diversity for folks of color who look like me, that they're responsible for administrating these programs. Well, I have been told that someone will be getting back to me, and I've heard nothing from her. And she was the one person that I was referred to. So I suggest to my listening audience that you call the Department of Energy at 202-586-8383. That's 202-586, whether or not they're going to cancel this summit that will be scheduled to be held in Houston by the Department of Energy Office of Economic Impact and Diversity in conjunction with the Minority Supplies Development Council of Houston, Texas. It seems to me that that shouldn't be that much of a struggle when it's on the front of their website. If you go to deep, being that we're only 1 week away, it would seem to me that someone could have been able to answer that question, and someone could have got back to me before showtime, because this is now showtime on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, and let us know if we can get someone from that agency to speak to the request that we put in. I think as taxpayers, we have the right to know. Now, moving on, I've attempted numerous times also to get someone from the Solar Energy Industry Association, which is called SEIA. They are the trade association for the solar energy industry. And I sent out emails, and I was put back in contact with their communications director asking me what did I wanted to discuss when I put the topic of discussion right under the email request. Now, we can't make anyone do anything, but I know that Steele has received millions of dollars of federal grants along with the Solar Foundation. Time I've reached out to these organizations who speak and represent the solar industry, which we have very, very little African and American ownership participation. Matter of fact, out of 9,900 a little more than 9,000 companies. I just recently found out that it was supposed to be, they're saying 9,000 now, because that was a recent article, which you can find on our website by going to our website. And once you go onto our website, you'll be able to, on our news and events tab, and once you click on our news and events tab, you will be able to find information, very, very pertinent information, as relates to SEIA opposes Section 201 petition. Bipartisan group of lawmakers urge Fed to oppose punitive tariffs. That being that it doesn't look as though we're going to be able to get Mr. Jernigan on board, because I was hoping that he would be joining us by this time, but he did inform me that if, in fact, they had to go back to work, he would not be able to join us on the airwaves today. So maybe that's what the situation is, because he said he would have to call me from work. So that is what I want to make our listening audience aware of, because Mr. Jernigan does work with one of the petroleum companies in Houston, and he, as an individual private entrepreneur, has a solar minority-owned solar installation company, and he is the president of the South Union Community Development Center there in Houston, and they have a solar initiative that I have been trying to work with them on. So I know he's a very, very, very busy individual. So if he can't join us today, it's understandable. We look under the news and events tab, and this is a recent August 11th, 2017 article that was published here in Washington, D.C. It was put out by the House Senate members. Senate House, tens of thousands of U.S. jobs at risk in Sunvia case before the International Trade Commission. Today, a bipartisan group of 16 senators and 53 members of the House of Representatives sent an open letter to the U.S. International Trade Commission Chairman Rhonda S-C-H-M-I-D-C-L-E-I-N. That the spelling of the last name is S-C, believe the request trade protection would double the price of solar panels. The Senate letter to the CIC, increasing costs will stop solar growth dead in its tracks, threatening tens of thousands of American workers in the solar industry and jeopardizing billions of dollars in investment in the communities around the country. Now, this letter can be found also on our website, and you can go to our news and events tab, and you can scroll down, and you can read that this had thousands of people in Washington, D.C. from this industry lobbying, but it's August. Who are you lobbying in August? Congress is out. So I guess they had a special hearing. But the fact of the matter is, we're looking at a situation. Community. Because we are first fired, last hired, and one of the biggest pet peeves that I have concerning this solar and renewable energy industry, which I have beat the drum on this show time and time again. Last week I had the privilege of having this Jamie Bunnell here in the nation's capital at the headquarters of DC Sustainable Utility. And 150 people less than 5 African Americans showed up. My question was, how is the black community being engaged to disseminate this information about these jobs? When you begin to look at the latest data, which was first, let me tie this in to President Obama's administration, because I want to connect the dots before I drop some numbers, because I want to make it plain. In 2007, most of you listening to my voice are aware of a brother by the name of Van Jones, who offered selling books on renewable and sustainable energy, and he also did a organization, nonprofit organization, which is nationally known, called Green for All, based out on the West Coast. Mr. Van Jones, in 2007, authored the Green Jobs Act, which was resulted in to President Obama's administration into legislation after he came to power in 2008, a $500 million in workforce development training funding, which went out to all 50 states. And each state and the District of Columbia received $10 million. Now, I've raised the question with the Solar Foundation. I've raised the question on our show, talking about this issue. Excuse me for backing away from the mic for a brief second, but I wanted to make sure I had everybody's name correct, because, you know, sometimes we can hit a blank spot. But that gentleman's name is Mr. Tracy Woods, who had, in fact, indicated a study was done by their organization in 2009 that showed African Americans in the continental U.S., we spent $41 billion for energy in this country. $41 billion. We only had 1.1% of the jobs in the energy industry. We only received 0.8% of the wealth from the energy industry. So this takes in all sectors of energy, whether it be petroleum, biomass, wind turbines, hydrogen, or solar, or all of it generates energy, electricity, energy, the industry. The rural co-ops of America, in a study that they put out, generated $364 billion for the the Solar Energy Industry Association, SEIA, put out an article indicating that 2016 alone generated $200 billion for the U.S. economy. Let me repeat. Solar alone from the renewable portfolio standard, which basically indicates you have a geographic location, that state legislature, municipal or city county government have passed regulations stating that a certain percentage of energy has to come from renewable sources through way of that main utility provided in that marketplace. And we know that the players are Duke Energy, Exxon, the major players, PEP from renewable sources, and they're called credits, whether it be hydro, wind, or solar. In solar, they're called solar credits. Sir, we are looking at an industry where when you look at the employment numbers and you drill down, the Solar Foundation put out a study in 2015, 260,000 individuals working in the solar and renewable energy industry. You only had 23.1% of women. This is a breakdown. 11.3% Hispanic, Islanders, and Asians. 8.1% veterans. And come back to America, we were only 6.6%. We jumped from 1% in 2009 to 6% in 2006. At the market demographics of where we live in 19 southern states, and those states don't have renewable portfolio standards, that plays a role in why we have these poor employment numbers in the solar and renewable energy industry. Because without certain legislation being passed by these 19 southern states, where 65% of the African American population resides in this country, states like Texas, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, you only have approximately out of the 50 states, 20 states that have renewable portfolio standards. Policy and legislation, politics controls who gets how much of what. But if you don't raise the issue about this industry, which President Obama's sunshine energy initiative, which you can find by logging on to our website at Positive Change, scroll down to our video gallery, click on the link, listen to the Sunshine Identity video on YouTube, which was produced by the Department of Energy under his during his tenure, which breaks everything down. When I asked once again folks from SEIA, folks from the Solar Foundation to come on the airwaves of this show and talk about why African American numbers are so pitiful, nobody wants to talk about that issue. But me. But guess what? I guess the drum is broke, so we're going to keep beating this song. Now, we are about 30 minutes into our show. We're going to be doing a 60-minute show today. We're going to look at taking a pause for the calls very briefly, and we're going to try to get back, and we're going to shift gears and talk about some other things. So we're going to try to get back and look at the impact of this storm, because we know that Congress gets back, they'll be fighting over appropriating funding for the survival of and the people who are going through one hell of a nightmare. And our prayers go out to all of those families who are affected. But one thing for sure, if these budget cuts that are proposed in the 2018 fiscal year budget that goes to Congress, there won't be anything. There won't be a safety net. Why we have continued to beat this drum.
I hear the song was singing.
life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Solar credit to provide a source of their being fine at a rate of $15 million a year, and this energy of this mine is passed back on to the state owners when they have a renewable energy fund that the rate holders pay into, and they have put approximately $65 million in that fund. And I've had the privilege of having the chairperson of the Public Service Commission, Mrs. Kane, come on the airwaves of Solar Now and the Future with an economic impact on Black America and talk about this issue of the city council redirecting funds from this renewable energy development fund. Now, this fund has collected almost $65 million since it's existed, because this fund, these fees are tagged onto your water bill, gas bill, and electric bill, because they're all utilities. NPSC regulates that, the Public Service Commission. And she's saying, wait a minute. This purpose of this fund was that it's supposed to assist 100,000 D.C. low and moderate income residents to their utility bill by 50%. Now that's fine. In 2023 or 2030, the reality. But the city council is redirecting funds, and it called the auditor report, it showed they moved approximately $45 million. It would have been $47.5 million, but this data school security empowerment network came on these airways. Probably well for the department to get any kind of rate, and because $45 million out of $65 million, got $20 million there. They just put out grants for $13 million in June. But that is commitment. The contractors must do the work, bring their invoices in, and they're reimbursed in wards 8, 7, and 5, which have a Commonwealth and he started to assist them in teaching this on their own. And to train 75 district residents how to become professional installation. So, now, this is new that you can do. Ties back into our subject matter about this funding and this impact. We know that there's going to be one hell of a fight over getting aid for Houston and Texas, because it was one Carolina. And as a gentleman who was an insurance broker and consultant was on their first show on 14:58 AM, and I'm going to give that sister plug because she has a dynamic information program that comes on from about 7 to 10, that he was talking about things that people could do, doing that we would provide some information of things that our listening audience could be doing, called Hurricane Preparedness. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, is predicting an unusual harsh hurricane season this year. Peak of America Atlantic hurricane seasons run from mid-August through October. So now is the time to be prepared. Hurricanes are intense storms that can result in flooding, high winds, tornadoes, and even loss of life. Please keep the following tips in mind as we enter the peak of hurricane season and emergency. Leave little or no time to react. It goes on to say here And any other time that I would need my cousin to breathe up on me, I need that now like I need a hold of my head. So I don't need that at this time, but that's what it has to do. It's going to take us a minute. Work with our person again and try to move things so we can get the information. But it says, for a hurricane, know your evacuation route and eliminate and your ultimate destination and where you plan on going. Now, how we talk about church. It also says, review an evacuation plan with your family and decide how you will get in contact with each other, where you will go, and what you will do in an emergency. To keep a copy of this plan in your emergency supply or another safe place where you can access it in the event of a disaster. Take pets to a boarding kennel or identify hotels at your evacuation destination that will accept pets should you need to evacuate. Local animal shelters may provide emergency shelters for pets. Yeah, we know about how many kids get on New York Avenue. Prepare an emergency evacuation supply kit for your pets as well. Pet food, feeding, dishes, water bottle. Fill your car with gas. Learn your property evaluation level to know if your property is flood prone or will be affected when the storm surge or tide flooding or forecast. Now, these are the things that they're asking you, the public, to know. Well, people don't have time to look for this information when they're busy. So that's why we thought it would be news that I let the audience can definitely use. Now, we have other things that we can get to here, and we're trying to keep this person working so we don't freak up again. Trim trees and shrubs around your home to keep you and your property safe. Secure gutters and downspouts and clean any closed areas in high wind. Patio furniture, garage cans, anchor objects that will be unsafe to bring inside. Propane tanks. Renew your homeowner's insurance. Okay? During the hurricane, stay informed by checking the website of your local National Weather Service office and local government agency management office. Find out what type of emergency could occur and how you should respond. Listen to your weather radio and other radio or TV stations for stereo rooms, closed hallways on the lowest level during a storm. Put all the walls between you and the outside that you can. Stay away from windows, skylights, and glass doors. Fine glass from broken windows, skylights, and glass doors can enter you. Turn off refrigerators. Turn your refrigerator or freezer to the coldest setting and only when necessary. If you do fire, food will last longer. Keep a thermometer in the refrigerator to be able to check food temperature. Continue in position to weather radio to find out when you can return to your home safely. These are a few tips. Stay alert and drive to avoid flooded roads, washed out bridges. Remember, do not run through or around or through deep water. Access the damage by walking carefully around the outside of the home to check for paralyzed gas leak structural damage. Carbon monoxide on areas deals with power outages. Never use a portable generator inside the garage. Use battery-powered flashlights. Do not use cameras. Turn on flashlights before thinking about. Because if you got a flashlight, if you're outside the light, you're not going to turn the light on. It is a place. Well, turning that off with the light on is the gas in here. The electricity is charged from underground or down the power line. Bad dangerous to see places when ground is washed away. Okay, photograph the damages to your property in order to assist in following current claims. That is a mouthful of shit, and I'm quite sure that you can use. We will be closing out this show very, very shortly. But before we close, once again, we'd like to let everyone know found a HBCU initiative. And it's got communication, specializing in public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online, and traditional newsletter production online, and speech writing, book writing, editing, publishing, speech, social media management, contact. This is one thing at scottcommunicationsnetwork.com. Now, thank you for joining us here on the airwaves of Solar Now and the Future with an economic impact on Black America. We are very, very sorry that we weren't able to get Mr. Jernigan back on our show for today. But once again, we all say, always say, we hope we brought you news that you can use. Until next week.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.